Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Tomorrow night, apparently we'll be watching a little hockey.
That is correct.
Yes. We've got some new merchandise there for you. At the Rock Shop at KISW.com. Check it out. It's hockey inspired, you see.
Inspired, yes.
Yeah, it's actually very cool stuff. It's
They have a full human tooth necklace.
Rock beanie and a t-shirt there. We got brand new merch for you. 50 years of KISW. Finally, we got hockey and, pick it up today.
I did not know this, but apparently Shaquille O'Neal, the Shaq Man Shaq, he's, opening a restaurant at a Climate Pledge or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's a picture of his big, giant, gargantuan ass wearing one of these Kraken jerseys. Here's the thing. You know, typically, when you buy one, they fit large. It's just the nature of them.
Not on Shaq.
Not on him.
Looks like a t-shirt.
He looks like Winnie the Pooh, except he is wearing pants in the picture. So that's a good thing.
It is our random question. Question 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Dan.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
Dan, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's go with this one. What would you say is the worst food combination that you've tried?
Oh, gosh. I would say I've tried a couple of different dishes with durian fruit, if you've heard of that. It's like a Southeast Asian
fruit. We have heard. Apparently, it is the smelliest fruit on Earth, one of the smelliest foods on Earth, to the point that I'm not sure if it's all airlines, but a lot of times when this thing is in bloom or whatever the hell the right word is, they will not let you even transport it, at least not on a public plane. They're like, man, there's no way.
My question is, once you cut through the smell, is the taste worth it? Does it stay on your breath? Do you smell
it? Does it taste the way it smells, or is it sweet, or what?
So it tastes the way it smells, for sure, and it kind of smells like a mixture of, like, rotten flesh and feet.
And you tried this because, I mean, I understand some interest in trying it, but you said you've tried it more than once?
Yeah, so I tried it just raw once, and it tasted exactly as it smelled and was horrible. And then I traveled to Vietnam a couple of years ago, and someone was like, you have to try this durian that they boil for 12 hours in coconut milk and add a bunch of sugar, and it's supposed to be really good. And so I tried that, and before I even took the bite, I could already smell the horrible rotting flesh smell, but it was a little bit sweeter because of the sugar.
Well, yeah, you boil it for 12 hours of sugar.
I got to ask, was this more of a thing like, we have to do this, or you just were curious? In other words, you know what I mean, was this like a bet between friends, or...
It was definitely, I want to give it another try, and I pretty much can eat any food and like any food, so I was just thinking maybe if they cooked it, it would be better, but it was not.
All right, what else did you try in Vietnam that other people might not be as apt to try? You sound fairly adventurous.
So I think everything that I tried there was pretty, like, something you could find at a Vietnamese restaurant besides maybe just, like, the way they do things. So I would say the weirdest thing they do that we don't do here is they have this, like, pork loaf, I would call it. It's kind of like their version of Spam, but if you could imagine it being even worse and kind of chunkier. That was basically in every type of soup that they had.
Okay. Well, to be fair, chunky only sounds good with soup. It's like we say with moist. If it's not cake, you probably don't want to hear it. If it's chunky and it's not soup, you probably don't want to hear that.
Well, my kid was in Thailand for a while because of the beaches, and she was sending me pictures of all the bugs, all the street food bugs that she was eating. And basically, it looked like, you know, a snack. You know, you get it.
Not all of them look terrible. I mean, the problem is they still look like a bug.
She said they were good. So
really? How many different?
About four or five.
Really?
Whatever you can eat that you can make into snack food. They were salted and, you know, spiced up and everything. They're roasted for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're getting, like, you know, a little bag of hot nuts, but it's hot insects.
I just don't like spiders, so I'm out. But I've seen, like, the scorpions on a stick, and I'm like, you know what? I would give that a try. It actually looks like
anything
it might
else
be
with
good.
A shell, it, you know, is good. So, like, I mean, I can't speak on turtle, but I mean, anything that comes out of the ocean, like a crab or a lobster,
shrimp,
scallops, I mean, you name it, if it's in a shell.
I agree, man.
It's typically pretty good stuff.
So, you guys ever try the crickets at T-Mobile?
I have had cricket once, and it wasn't bad. I was a kid. Somebody brought it in for show and tell, but we all tried a cricket. I remember the sound of like 30 students crunching. It was a little unnerving, but man, honest to God, it wasn't bad. It doesn't taste like you just pulled a cricket out of the ground and popped it in your mouth. Like you said, Miles, like it seems you're either deep fried or roasted, heavily salted. So it's kind of like,
even if you
weird
go to a
popcorn.
Sushi place, they might have it on the menu, but ask them if they do shrimp heads. And if they do, I mean, they'll fry those bad boys up, man. You could eat those things all day. They're fantastic.
You like shrimp heads?
Yes.
What about shrimp tails?
It's just harder to get through. Depends on how they cook them.
My brother eats shrimp tails. He has always eaten shrimp tail. It used to freak my parents out because we go to, like, seafood restaurant. And most people, if you got shrimp, you know, there's that little pile of shrimp tails in the corner of your plate. And you know, say, hey, man, do you want those? I'm like, no. That's why they're sitting in the corner of my plate. And I thought he was messing with me at first. And, I mean, he just mouths down on those things.
Raise my ass, what is the worst food combo you've ever tried? Mayonnaise, as you know, can be divisive, and the people who like it may say they love it on everything, but those limits are being put to the test. Last Thursday, the Twitter account for Hellman's told people to put mayonnaise in their coffee, and they were not kidding. They added, nope, that wasn't a typo, mayo in your coffee. It's called having a sophisticated palate.
No. That's not what that means at all.
Well, I mean, it's egg.
Just because you like something that is odd, it does not mean you're sophisticated. It just means you like it.
According to Hellman's, the benefits of putting mayo in your coffee include mayo in your coffee and coffee in your mayo. Naturally, this ticked off everybody on the internet, with some people claiming they're going to try it, others insisting that it was gross, and others joking about it. One woman even wrote a song about the situation.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of singers, Dionne Warwick was so disgusted that she blocked Hellman's. She says, I will tolerate this, and she actually blocked their account.
Crazy-ass Dionne Warwick was so
network,
disgusted.
You know the way to San Jose, was pissed off about the mayo.
You're so mad. I don't know why I'd make you mad. I mean, just don't do it. But she actually got, so she blocked Hellman's.
It seems like maybe it was just tongue-in-cheek, though, but that's in response to University of Kentucky quarterback Will Levis revealing he's a big mayo and coffee guy on TikTok last week. So it started there, and it took off. People were like, what the hell's wrong with you? And Hellman said, why not?
I mean, it's not something I would necessarily
random,
do.
Random,
I've never
random,
tried it.
Random,
I gotta try one out.
Random,
hello, Robert.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Robert, welcome to the program. The random question. All right, let's see here. We're talking about products. What would you say, what is the brand or product that you are most loyal to? A lot of times people with cars, they'll stick with the same car company for a number of years.
I'm Marlboro Reds.
Mm-hmm. Some people drink the same beer, for the most part, if they can.
Sure.
Is there a product out there that you're loyal to?
I mean, I'm kind of like a creature of habit, so... I buy everything the same, usually. Same condoms.
What brand of condoms?
Durex.
Okay. Really? I was always a Trojan guy. I don't know why. Maybe because they were the first condom I heard of. But I always went Trojan. And so anytime someone had... And look... During certain periods in your life, you got to bum a condom from a buddy. And even if they had Durex, I'm like, okay. And there's nothing wrong with them. But yeah, just
people do it. I mean, I've wore the same brand of deodorant probably for 10, 15, 20 years. Never thought of changing it because once I found one that didn't make me reek so bad, I was like,
what do you
stick
use?
With this? That Mitchum stuff?
Oh, yeah.
The gel that you kind of spin
you
got to
get that. You got to get that big box of Durex condoms from Walmart.
How many come in a pack?
I think it's 12. I think there's 12 in a box.
Is that the biggest that they offer? I'm just curious.
I think that's the biggest one I can find there. But I've, like, the normal size Trojan, like, they hurt.
All right.
Let me ask you this.
How long will a 12-pack of condoms realistically last for you?
It depends. Usually.
Yes, it depends.
I got a girlfriend, so, I mean, like, sometimes it can be a couple weeks, sometimes it can be a couple months.
All right, just depending on what's going on. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool.
Treat her well. You'll go through them quicker.
Reason we asked what brand or product are you most loyal to, here you go. You've heard of the Jonas Brothers. Guess what they're now doing?
Oh, no. I hope it's not condoms.
They are selling popcorn. Is this been the weirdest thing in this room as far as people that, yes. Well, mostly Ted knows, that are now getting into the popcorn world?
How does everyone get into the popcorn game?
It's called Rob's Backstage Popcorn. It's actually a secret recipe from the dad of their former bass player. He would make this sweet and savory popcorn and bring it for the band to enjoy backstage at shows. Nick said, quote, "We asked Rob, would it be okay if we launched this and gave the experience to our fan?" He said, "Let's do it." So the Jonas Brothers have started selling it at concerts, but have now expanded to selling it online. Joe said, quote, "It's rare to find something that has that balance of flavor. It's tasty and flavorful, so we thought it should be on everyone's shelf at home." The popcorn, by the way, just so you know, in case we have any Portland listeners, is vegan, GMO-free, and gluten-free.
Of course.
You can buy a pack of four for $20. Just head over to eatrobs.com. And one more. Justin Bieber, the beef, is teaming up with a California pot company called Palms to launch a line of pre-rolled Justin Bieber joints. They are called Peaches Pre-Rolls by Palm, a nod to Justin's song Peaches, but you knew that already, Steve, which includes the line, "I get my peaches out in Georgia, I get my weed from California." See what he did there?
Man, oh man, that guy is a wordsmith.
Yeah. Each purchase includes a decorative box and lighter. Profits going to two pot-related charities, one that advocates for criminal justice reform for people with cannabis convictions, and the other of the ones to expand medical cannabis for veterans. Pot has been very, very good to Justin and his mental health, and he hopes to destigmatize that. He said, "Weed was something that I felt people tried to make me feel bad for enjoying. But I've now found a place in my life for weed products that have been beneficial in my human experience."
You know what, though? That's an easy sell. Okay? Like, I'm not a fan of Justin Bieber. I'm 100% indifferent to him. But if you said, "Hey, man, do you want to try my pre-rolled joint?" Like, yeah. I don't care who you are. I mean, anybody. You can be the head of the KKK. Yeah. You roll up like, "Hey, normally I don't like you. Want to try my weed?" Like, I do. We can talk about things we disagree on, but I'll smoke a joint with you, brother. Like, that's the easiest sales pitch on the face of the planet, is offering someone weed.
The strain is White Lightning.
Yeah, random, I bet it is. Random, but yeah, I'll try your weed.
Yeah, there's white chocolate. Random.
Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the men's room. Men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Wayne, welcome to the program and the random question. All right, let's go with this one. Depending on the breakup, who would you say was to blame for the breakup? Could be in a personal relationship. Could have been a relationship with a family member, co-worker.
Business venture.
Yeah. Boss. Who was to blame for the breakup?
She was. She's crazy as hell.
Now, did you break up with her or did she break up with you?
I broke up with her, and then she tried to steal my cat.
What?
What was the sign that you needed to break up? You say she's crazy as hell, so what were all the red flags before your breaking point?
Alrighty, so things around the house just started getting damaged, and I wasn't breaking them. There was only two people living there. So it was obvious that, you know, she was trying to act out in some manner or fashion, and you know, things were rocky between us. So, I mean, I get that, and we're still living together.
You're still living together?
You know, No. This is 20 years ago now.
All right.
But, you know, confronting her about it, absolutely. Well, I didn't do it. And then starts, you know, trying to just verbally attack me, you know, about things, saying, like, well, I was being, you know, abusive to those items, not to her. And, you know, I'm like, but I, like, this is something I haven't even, you know, seen in a week. I haven't touched this. This is, like, you know, your thing.
Well, let me ask you a question.
A lot of people
have a type, you know, and they stick with that a lot of the times through thick and thin. It might be with other people, but then whether it's a physical attraction or the type of person, or the intellect, you know, as far as what your conversations are. So do you tend to have these types of relationships consistently, or was this a one-offer?
It was a one-offer. I firmly believe that you'll find somebody with a kind of crazy you can live with.
Yeah, I think that goes both ways.
Everybody's crazy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not just...
Absolutely. Everybody's got, you know, their little, their things, their antics, or, you know, their things that, you know, you think is, you know, that's a little off the wall, but I can deal with it.
Yeah, but stealing cat crazy? Just,
she had some surprises.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
What was the situation she tried to steal your cat? So you've now broken up, and what, she tried to come back and take the cat?
Yes. We had broken up. And she had a cat at the time, and I had a cat. Mine was a kitten. Hers was a couple years old. So when she's leaving, she's like, and by the way, I'm taking your cat. And then I had to, you know, look through, the apartment to try and find the cat. And I found she'd already had it in a carrier. So I had to go and retrieve the cat from the carrier, bring it back and, you know, inside, and then tell her, look, you know, if you try to steal from me, I am going to call the authorities. And that seemed to get her to back off a little bit. And then she called back a couple of days later. She's like, you know, if I can, I'm getting that cat. No, nothing else happened with the cat after that. And I had the cat until, you know, until it died, which was many years later, of course.
Okay.
But, yeah.
That's a little weird. That's a little weird.
I wouldn't want someone else's cat.
Not of all the animals. I might like your dog.
Pet's a personal thing. You know what I mean? No matter what it is.
But if I'm going to steal a pet, chances are it's your dog. Because dogs you really make buddies with. Like, I might like your cat, but I promise you, I don't like anyone's cat so much that I want it.
Typically, cats are pretty cool with me. For the most part. I've had one or two cats that have been problematic. But
these are your cats that don't treat you well.
Yeah, maybe just,
I mean, it's one thing to say.
Just one. I mean, he was blind. He was scared. He was feral. I mean, he was all the things. He was in pain from being run over by a car.
He was nice to me.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he jumped right up on your lap.
And I barely even knew him.
The reason we asked who's to blame for the breakup, Paul McCartney is setting the record straight that John Lennon was the one to break up the Beatles.
Oh, sure. Blame it on the dead guy.
In an upcoming BBC Radio 4 episode, Paul says, quote, I did not instigate the split. That was Johnny. John walked into the room one day and said, I'm leaving the Beatles. And that instigated the split up. But Paul said, this was my band. This was my job. This was my life. So I wanted to continue. He said after John's announcement, he, Ringo, and George were left to pick up the pieces and were told to keep quiet by their manager since the business deals had to be made. Paul added, quote, the point of it really was that John was making a new life with Yoko. John had always wanted to sort of break loose from society. To be clear, Paul did not blame Yoko. He even said, quote, they were a great couple. There was a huge strength there. But I guess he was tired of people saying that it was him for all those years because they believed that he was the guy. Because he wanted to go form Wings. Nobody wanted to form Wings.
He didn't want to form Wings. It's just like, hey, man, you want to make some music? And then they did.
More of the random question coming up, 206-421-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Random question, 206-421-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Dave.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the men's
random,
room.
Random.
Hello, Dave.
Random.
Ah, too bad. Hello, Forrest. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
Forrest, welcome to the program. Random question, let's see here. Okay, let's go with this one. Where did you get trapped or stuck, and for how long?
Oh. That's a tough one. My present employer, does that count?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking for a job and you can't stand it, man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the thing, is I can't really say. So I got nothing. I've never been trapped.
Never got stuck in an elevator. I've done that. Locked myself in a bathroom when I was a kid.
I did get stuck in an elevator. I got stuck in an elevator at work for about 45 minutes, but I was on my way to go pee. So that was pretty harrowing, and I got out just in time, but it was. I thought I was going to have to pee in the elevator.
Say, how many times did you debate that?
Pretty much constantly the whole time I was in there. I was like, okay, if I pee in this corner, will it just run down and be in here, or am I going to be standing in it? So
it was not a carpeted elevator.
No. And the thing is, see, there's no emergency button or alarm or anything in there. So I had to sit there for a while.
Wait a minute. You're in an elevator that had no emergency button to at least let someone know that your ass is stuck in the elevator.
Right, it's a little technical elevator that goes between two floors. It doesn't go, not like normal. Yeah, it's back behind the scenes at the hospital.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah. That makes sense. I once, one of the most beautiful women I've ever known, I am getting in good. She finally agrees to go out on a date with me. I pick her up at her place. This is an old building in downtown Baltimore. And get on the elevator. And she says the elevators make her nervous. Me being young, dumb, and like 20 years old, whatever. I jump up and down. The elevator shakes a little. And she's doing the whole, ooh, don't. So I do it again. And then it stops. And it gets stuck. We're in there for over an hour. The fire department had to get us out of there. Needless to say, not only did we not have a date that night, we never had a date ever again.
How quickly did she turn on you?
So the thing is, I'm like...
Or was it a slow build over the time it took for them to arrive?
It was smoldering. It's one of those things, like, you recognize that there's a fire, but it's still smoldering, so you can see the embers, and it's glowing. But by the time the fire department got there, I wanted to be like, dude, you need to turn the hose on her, because she's about to kill me. She's going to lose her mind, but she's a little bit claustrophobic. I did not know all of that. I just knew that elevators, quote-unquote, made her nervous.
Right.
Then I find out she's claustrophobic about 10 minutes after we're stuck in there. And basically the next 80 minutes after that, they really sucked because there's nowhere to go. And now she's not talking to me, so it's just the two of you standing in a box waiting for the fire department.
Few stories here on where did you get trapped or stuck and for how long. We stay here at home. A person stuck in a garbage chute Saturday afternoon managed to get out without any assistance from emergency crews, according to the Seattle Fire Department. The fire department said crews responded near the 1800 block of East Madison Street.
Knew it.
Four reports of a person stuck in a garbage chute. Shortly after, authorities said the person escaped the chute and is now in stable condition. It is unclear why the person was in the garbage chute.
I know why they're in the garbage chute, and I'm not kidding. When I read that this morning, in my mind, I said, I know this happened in Capitol Hill. I don't know why, just something told me.
Some of the buildings are still old enough to have a garbage chute.
And it's a joyride thing, is my guess. Because when I had a building, had a garbage chute, I was up on the sixth floor, it was a newer building. I know it's a bad idea. I never did it, but every time I threw trash down there, I'm like, man, like part of me wants to jump through there and just see what happens.
This building is pretty tall, 40-some floors, I believe. There's no garbage chute.
No.
So it's like, I wonder what they say, like, okay, this building needs a garbage chute, or this building does not need a garbage chute.
Is there a limit to how high you can be?
That's what I'm saying. How do they determine, okay, this building, we're definitely putting it in a garbage chute here?
I would think a lot of residential buildings have it. I know that. But I would think we have a janitorial staff that shows up right around 6 o'clock, right around the time this show finishes. And I always think they have to go floor by floor. They clear out all the trash, and they have a utility elevator. They got to take it down. I bet you if you offer them a garbage chute, they'd be like, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Question, where did you get trapped or stuck, and for how long? We go to Tampa, Florida. And what has been a year to remember for the Tampa Bay Rays? There was a bit of a scare at Tropicana Field over the weekend. That's because a young man got a little too close with the infamous Wade Boggs statue at the ballpark. The young boy got his head stuck in the statue, causing a bit of a scene at Tropicana. Fortunately, he was able to get loose, but that statue of Boggs is now off limits for all fans until further notice.
Really?
Yeah, the youngster was fired up to watch the Rays play. And he just wanted to get a picture with the Boggs statue, but he put his head in such a way that he got trapped.
Did you see a picture of it?
I did not.
Part of the Wade Boggs statue, it looks... either like he's flexing his arm or he has his arm on his hip. One of those two things. But the kid stuck his head in the crook, like the inner elbow, mm-hmm. to get the picture. So it looked like Wade Boggs would have him in a headlock. That's what I'm assuming he's trying to do. And then it turns out that Wade Boggs legitimately had him in a headlock. Couldn't get his goddamn head out.
Now, I know that Wade Boggs spent a lot of time in Tampa. Mm-hmm. At the end of his career. I'm not sure if they won a World Series when he was there. Maybe they did.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But as soon as I read that and saw the story, I was like, would that not be the equivalent of the Seahawks
Franco
having Franco Harris and Jerry Rice statue out in front of the stadium? Like, hey, this is not where he kind of built his career.
He didn't build his career.
Maybe he won a World Series and I don't know it.
But to be fair, name another historical player from the Tampa Rays.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and they've won World Series. I mean, hell, they were in it last year and just barely lost.
Well, so. But the thing about the Rays,
it's not that they're not a good club and franchise.
But it's not built on names. The Yankees go, every goddamn person in the lineup. Sox go, every person. But when Tampa went, it was such a team thing. Because remember the first time they went, I want to say, their payroll, you could have paid their payroll with an ATM mm-hmm. withdrawal. So nobody knew the names. They just happened to win it all. So, yeah, if Wade Boggs even stopped there to watch a game, they're going to make a statue of that dude.
One more from where did you get trapped or stuck and for how long? This is a crazy one. Two guys in the Solomon Islands tried to take their motorboat from one island to another last month, but they got lost at sea. They left on September the 3rd and were heading to an island about 125 miles to the southeast, but they got turned around in bad weather and ended up heading northwest instead. Then their GPS died, and they were in the middle of the open ocean. So they turned their motor off to save fuel and drifted for 29 days. They survived on rainwater, some oranges they brought along, and a few coconuts they found floating in the water. Well, last Saturday, they finally got spotted by a fisherman off the coast of New Guinea, about 250 miles from where they started. He got them to shore, and they were so weak they had to be carried off the boat. Both men did survive. Here's the optimistic story, though. One of them was talking to a reporter and said that the one positive thing he took away from all this was it was a nice break from the pandemic. Quote, I had no idea what was going on while I was out there. I didn't hear about COVID or any of that crap, so I guess it was a nice break from that and from everything. Officials in the Solomon Islands are working with New Guinea to get them back home.
All right, I can respect that. Regarding garbage chutes, trash chutes, someone here says, as of the year 2000, there are no more garbage chutes installed. This is a coded safety issue. Followed by, I work for a union drywall company in the Seattle area. We just built a 20-story building last year, and it had a garbage chute.
Okay. Random. I mean, I always think they're neat. Random, I'm like, this is random, way too convenient.
I will tell you this, man. I've only lived in one building that had a garbage chute, and honest to God, you're more motivated to take your trash out. I didn't have to get an elevator. You walk down the hall, you open this thing, you chuck it in. I don't know about you, but I listen to hear it fall all the way down. There's some satisfaction in that.
I don't know why I was in the back in the day, but the way that homes were built then, the laundry area was never where you needed the laundry area
to be.
It's
in the corner of your basement.
Yeah, so more now in
your unfinished basement.
Contemporary homes will have a washer and dryer upstairs, where people take
where
off
you
their
live.
Clothes and put your clothes on. But I did live in one house that had a laundry chute. And trust me, if I could have slid down that thing in a heartbeat, I would have probably taken the skin off my arms. But I just thought this is the most awesome thing.
How many floors was the...
It went down three. So we were in a two-story home with a basement, and it dropped into a big laundry bin in the bottom of the basement.
Did it?
Where the washer and dryer
was. How old were you?
It was a straight chute.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still cool. You open up this little door, and you just throw all your dirty clothes down, man. And that was so much, pick up your room. Well, I could just wrangle up all my clothes all over the floor. Throw it down the chute. I'm pretty well halfway to home on,
The problem is I need a dumb waiter to get it back up. It's convenient to get your dirty clothes down to the washer, but then after you wash them,
It was a cafeteria. I think it was a Morrison's cafeteria where I grew up at home. And it was an all-you-could-eat buffet.
All right.
But when you were done, you put the tray in the dumbwaiter, and it took it down someplace and disappeared. I know where it went now.
Right.
But as a kid, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. You're done with your tray. You can get another tray. It's all you can eat. But you can just take that thing down, and it disappears.
We actually had a house with a dumbwaiter. And I was 14 when we moved there. I'd never heard of a dumbwaiter. I just thought it was a member of the wait staff who you thought was an idiot. And so my parents explained this. So our kitchen was in the basement, and then there's a dining room, which we use rarely, but there was a dining room one level above that. But anytime there were holidays and a bunch of family came over and all that crap, it was my job to load the dumbwaiter. Mm-hmm. And I will say, as a teen, you're not trying to help out around the house much, but that was the one job where I'm like, hell yeah. So you take the food, and you pull this rope, you send it up, right? You wait for someone to give you the word, you bring it back down. But then it was my job to clear the table. Ordinarily, wouldn't want to do it. But just because I could put it on the dumbwaiter, I looked forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah, no, it was exciting.
Yeah, I'm like, hell yeah, I'll clear
did
the
it
table.
Did you have a rope or did you press a button?
It was a rope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Brian, welcome to the program. Random question, Brian, have you, you've owned a dog or cat in your lifetime?
I have a cat right now.
Okay.
You sound happy about it.
We'll go with this one. What did your pet eat? What did your pet eat?
A couple of things. I'm going to go plastic because she's a cat, and I don't know why she likes to eat plastic, but...
And like soft really, plastic? Know, like soft plastic or like the plastic from around your milk carton or something?
No, I have a straw. She eats the straw like she nibbles on it. And then there's the soft plastic that I have like from other stuff, and then she tries to eat that. And I'm like, what's wrong with you?
She wants to die.
But she does. But she has 9 lives.
Okay.
I think I killed her like 4 or 5 times.
My cat, Senior O'Leary, man, he would lay it down in the cat litter box. I mean, you could smell it going up 2 floors.
Plastic lasagna.
When he did it, man, he did it. And Chewy, the beagle, as soon as she got a whiff of that, she would run down the stairs and try to beat me from scooping that up because she wanted to eat that Kitty Roca. And it was a game we played.
One question.
Yeah.
What is it about cat turds that
dogs like? Did
they
throw it up? Or did they?
No, no. She ate it like it was like
they always throw it
like
up.
It was pate.
No, it was
like
a beagle. Beagles, I don't know what their stomach's made out of, man, but there's. They seem to keep down any goddamn thing they want to eat. I don't know my dog's been eating.
That dog can eat a whole box of chocolate and not die. And it could be like just chocolate powder. You know what I mean? Like the worst thing.
Right, the worst thing.
A dog could eat. And that dog would be perfectly fine.
My last question real quick before I go.
Yeah.
Where is Ted?
Oh, Ted's got the day off.
Yeah, I think he's recovering from a trip to, where'd he go, Milwaukee, I believe? Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee,
yeah, they had a big beer drinking kind of trip planned, so understandably.
He's still recovering.
Yeah,
I hope to God he didn't fly southwest. There's 2 options there.
Yeah, he might not be back in Seattle yet if he flew southwest.
I'm not sure.
I will say that I'm not sure what my dog's eating right now. I think it's just a piece of one of her, she has like a rope thing she always wants to do the tug of war with. Mm-hmm. So it's made of nylon, but I've noticed in the last 2 weeks or so, I'll take her out, she'll poop, and then after she poops, if she gets real, like, she'll do a quick 360, and this is at night, so I can't see anything. I realize there's a piece of poop hanging out of her butt, but it's hanging on by the nylon thread. So, like, 3 times in the last week. And listen, I love my dog. Certain things piss me off. And after cleaning something else's ass bugs me. Like, I've had my kids. They have grown up. I don't have to wipe their ass anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the dog keeps spinning around. Then I have to grab another bag and just kind of reach around. And I feel the turd in my hand. And then you pull this thing out like a clown scarf. And I'm like, man, you got to stop. Right? If this is that troubling and you keep coming to me, like, I need to solve this. You need to quit doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, totally. Raise my ass, what did your pet eat? Someone took their Rottweiler to the vet after it swallowed something it shouldn't have. And there's a video of it finally puking it up in the middle of a veterinary office. It's not clear if the owner or the vet posted the video, but it's only 13 seconds long. And ends up after the dog finally pukes up a large pink sex toy. Now, the woman filming it seems pretty excited when this happens. People online seem to think she is the owner of said toy, but that is not clear. Meanwhile, you also see that there's a veterinary technician who is holding the dog's leash, and she starts to dry heave when she realizes what the dog threw up. So
like
this comedy of errors.
Right, right.
Blah! It's a sex toy. She's like, blah!
Ah! And say which one?
Then the woman's laughing.
We got a dog and a cat comment here. It says, my dog ate 7 peanut butter weed cookies. She's a black lab. She could barely stand to eat her food. And every time he went to pet her, she was scared.
Oh, no.
And then this one regarding a cat. And I forgot about this. My cat does this, too. And Christmas is coming up. It says, I had a cat when I was a kid that ate tinsel off the Christmas tree. Every Christmas, there was tinsel hanging out of its ass. What is it about tinsel and cats?
You mean like the icicles that you kind of drape on?
Yeah, just the long cats. Love that stuff. I tried to explain this to my wife.
Cats love Christmas trees in general. I mean, that's
what they like to do. And so I'm saying this to my wife, who always says, hey, man, no one gets into Christmas spirit, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, man, it's not that. But as an adult, financially, this is not an awesome time. But whatever. You put up the Christmas tree, you put it up in the basement. It looks fantastic. Within 24 hours, every Christmas bulb that you put on there, at least the bottom half of the tree, half of them are broken, but they're not on the tree anymore. Because to the cat, what you did is put up a bunch of speed bags. And the cat will swat at these things until it busted off the hook. And like I said, the glass, whatever the hell they're made out of, they just break all over the floor. I'm like, look, this next year, put all the balls higher. Because that's they just keep knocking off the lower one. Put them up high.
I had a golden lab that got into a bag of rubber bands, like for your hair. And she crapped rubber bands for at least a week straight. It's going around the yard picking it up. There's just little rubber rings all over the place.
I'm not a fan of that, man. Not a fan. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola. Justin, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. When did the weather do you dirty?
It killed my car on the way home from school.
As far as what, you hit black ice?
Oh, no. I was coming from, South Seattle Community College on the West Seattle Bridge. There's that divot right there. Well, that filled up with water and shorted out all my electronics.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that's only going to happen with these newfangled cars, right? Mm-hmm. This is not something in the old days. How long ago did this happen?
This happened back in, 2011, and it was a 01 Golf GTI.
Okay.
That sucks.
That does suck. How much does that cost you to solve, or do you have to get a new car?
So, funny enough, Volkswagen said, oh, that's a normal thing. It's a wet weather syndrome, and it shorts out the ignition coil. So it only cost me $200, but still, I was on the West Seattle Bridge, stopped, and a cop had to push me over to the side.
Yeah,
until my car dried out.
I'm sure everyone was thrilled that you broke down in the middle of the West Seattle Bridge.
There's not a lot of room there to pull over.
But now it doesn't matter. Yeah. But yeah, nobody liked being on the bridge anyway.
I think that's one of the reasons I hate snow, because the weather did be dirty almost every winter. I mean, and very rarely did that translate into us not having a day off of school the next day. Because it never, you'd stay up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You're out shoveling snow all night.
Mm-hmm.
And they would still find a way to get your ass to school, even if they delayed class by an hour or two. I think the worst one for me was, God, it's probably been 20 years. But my uncle used to live in Dallas. And I had a the flight was coming in later at night. And I believe the flight was through Chicago. And we were delayed in the Chicago airport because it was bad weather happening all across the United States.
Right.
They finally got to the point where, and I'm telling you, the flight was probably 2 to 3 hours delayed. So I was getting in now at around 11 or midnight in Dallas, which did not make my uncle happy because he's been waiting. You know what I mean? And back then it was not as easy to get a hold of someone. I was trying to call his home, but he was actually at the airport. He finally gave up.
Right, pre-cell phone. There's nothing you can do.
He could walk into, physically into the airport, go up to the counter and go, what's the deal? And they told him, and he finally went back home. So basically what happened was, They said, we can fly into Dallas. But it turned out we were one of the last flights that they allowed to land at Dallas International Airport because they had an ice storm. All right.
Oh, damn.
Well, the way that Dallas has worked out, most of the bridges and the highways aren't actually on the ground. They are elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So with this ice storm and the wind and everything else and the rain before that, it basically froze every bridge in the area going into the airport, which are big highway bridges like we have here in Seattle on I-5 and everything else. But they shut down the interstate. So I get there, and it's 11:30, whatever. And I'm in my 20s, whatever. And I call my uncle, and I'm like, hey, I just got in. He's like, guess what? They just shut down all of the interstates, including the Beltway, in the Dallas area. And I was like, well, what do I do? He's like, you're just going to have to sit in the airport, and we're going to have to find out. And by the morning, it had all melted.
Yeah, nothing you can do.
So he came and picked me up at 6:45. But I just sat there in a chair because I couldn't sleep in a chair. Everything is closed at this point in time. Dallas Airport didn't have any restaurants open or anything like that. You just sit there. You know what I mean?
There's nothing you can do.
All night long. Like, this sucks.
At least you weren't on the plane. There's nothing worse than when you board and then they let, you're on the plane. I don't know if it's federal law or whatever, but it seems like once you're on, unless there's an emergency, you can't get the hell off. Then they let you know. We're just getting word now that we're going to have a slight weather delay. Well, slight is 45 minutes. And after about 45 minutes, they check back on. Ladies and gentlemen, looking right now, according to NOAA, we have about another hour and a half on the tarmac. And I mean, just the boom.
I know. It's okay. Reason we asked, when did the weather do you dirty? Early Saturday, a group of ultra runners set off on what was supposed to be a 50-mile race through the mountains of Utah. But that same morning, 12 to 18 inches of snow fell during a storm in those same mountains, leading to the rescue of 87 runners. The DC Peaks 50 began in East Mountain Wilderness Park at about 5 a.m., and by 9:30, participants were faced with near whiteout conditions. The race, which was meant to end at Tunnel Springs Park, was instead suspended 18.4 miles in. Search and rescue teams on snowmobiles and 4x4s had to rescue 87 runners. All participants were confirmed to be safely off the mountain. Some were treated for hypothermia and released. Many were wearing just T-shirts, shorts, running shoes. Quote, just a friendly reminder to be aware of weather conditions before you head out to enjoy the great outdoors.
Friendly reminder.
According to the Davis County Sheriff's Office. The sheriff pointed out that going into the mountains with an average elevation of 6,600 feet, which is how they mapped this thing out at this time of the year, can have unpredictable consequences.
Me in October? Mm-hmm. Who would have guessed it?
Coming up, your guess is as good as mine. Our categories today, the 10 snobbiest states in America and the top 10 Halloween decorations. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.